Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
When you hear that bomb blast, get a shot glass. Listen to the podcast. It's all up in your bomb cast. Big J kills them like OJ Simpson. A quick hit the fingerless glove, don't bend. Get break quick by that big dick Dave Smith. He all up in your ribs while he talking politics. Or get bit when you rattle by that Puerto Rican snake. And natural born killers, legion of skanks.
Welcome to the class.
What's up, dudes?
What's up, doggy?
Fellas?
Kicking it on a Friday night hang.
Where are you in your smoking room?
In my smoking room.
You're in your cigar lounge?
Yeah. I got to stop this soon, because when we move, I don't want to hear it.
What don't you want to hear?
That I was smoking out of a window in a room.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's that. No more smoking out of a window in your room, my friend.
I know, I can just go outside. I can't wait for that. It is funny, moving from a city to suburbs is such an interesting, just like the things you say you're excited for that most people across the country would understand, just like, you know, I'm going to go outside of my front door and there's the cars right there. It's like there.
Yeah. Well, it's even like going to the supermarket. You're like, I'm going to drive my car to the supermarket and drive my groceries home. I'm not going to have an African deliver them to my lobby.
Or not also that it's like when you go to the grocery store, you can just park. There's not some kind of toll and ticket you have to take. And
yeah, you're not circling the block 19 times to fucking.
Well, I remember
try
the amount of times
spot.
That I would walk to the supermarket and then I'd walk home with like six bags in my hands, like a fucking lunatic.
I did that so many times.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. Yeah, suburban life rules, Jay. I mean, no regrets, even in the slightest bit. Dave, you're a city kid, so it's actually just a different thing. Like I moved back to, well, I didn't move back to what I grew up in was.
You moved back to a nightmare?
Well, no. So when I grew up in the suburbs, but it was like, I didn't even realize how bad it was until like you go back to that suburban area and Railroad Avenue, West Havishaw, Benson Street. It's like really like dilapidated and shitty. And even at the time, I didn't realize how bad it was.
Sure.
You know, it didn't get worse. It's just the same as it always was. My standard of what is nice has just risen, and my standard of what's shitty is just more accurate.
Well, I think there's something interesting. It's even like the thing, like Dave, you don't have this kind of like lifestyle stuff anymore where it's just like, I'm still go to concerts and shit and I'll go to games and everything. So like there was something that was always kind of good about like, you know, I'm like the 5-minute drive or 15-minute walk from work. Do you know what I mean? Like those kind of things are like, I am like weird about like, oh, that's going away. It's like, if you go to a concert, you're now like trekking out to a concert somewhere. If you go, you know what I mean?
You'll go to MetLife Stadium and honestly, you're in your comfortable car instead of walking. I'd rather be in my car driving for 30 minutes than walking from your place to Madison Square Garden. Fuck that. Or jumping
it's
on a subway.
Also,
or
look, there's no question. Like there are some conveniences of the city. The only one that I really miss for me is just like the food was so much better. And I just had like spots that I loved when I lived in the Upper West Side.
I think you're not talking through your microphone.
Really?
I don't think so. Tap it.
Hold on one second.
Tap it.
Nope. You're right, Lewis. Look at that.
I wish we had producers on the show. If we had producers on the show to figure those things out, that'd be so cool.
That should be better.
By the way,
I should be coming through now, right?
Someone who was watching this show just left. We're boring with our suburb dad talk.
No, it fucking rules up. Dave's different because Jay, you grew up in the suburbs too, or you know, I guess it was suburban.
No, I didn't.
It wasn't a city.
No, where I lived in West Philadelphia was a city for sure.
Okay,
I moved out of there when I was 16, almost 17, and we moved South Jersey.
Yeah, I'm imagining your parents. Place now, which is super suburban.
Yeah.
But you also lived in the suburbs for a little bit at least.
So a couple years. Oh, yeah. Well, then also when we went out to Long Island, I was out there for a couple years. So
even
it's like
Queens, where we were at in Queens, was pretty suburban.
Theoretically. Basically what I grew up in, it was more around of Queens.
Right. Which is like it's city.
It's kind of halfway between. It's like I don't know. It's like not quite a suburb, but
you are attached to everybody on the block.
Yeah.
The block is one structure that just has houses put into each one.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
No, there's the thing is that I guess for, like for me, I also I kind of like I lived in, you know, I lived in a bunch of shitty apartments, like some like all right apartments, but there was moving into a house that was like my house. Again, I know to like most people, this is the most normal thing ever. You just take like, yeah, you live in a fucking house. That's what people live in. Mm-hmm. But it was for me at whatever 36 or whatever was the first time I ever did that. And it was just like, there's something so nice about that. And it was like within, I spent my entire life in New York City. And within 2 months of moving out to the burbs, I was ruined forever living in New York City again. Like I just could never go back to that.
Just the noise, the invasiveness of like God. A stranger.
It's
like,
dude, it's crazy how much I love the quiet. And I didn't realize till I was nearly 40. It's like, oh, I've been torturing myself my entire life.
Yeah. And how much like anxiety it gives me like to like, I mean, I also like I had a weird, particularly crazy, like whatever you ever you guys have obviously seen My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah,
sure.
Okay. Well, you know how like every scene he moved into a new place with crazy sounds.
Yeah,
that was my life forever.
Like it was almost comical. It was something. He thought it was a thing. We thought that was just what life was.
But for me, it was like different, dude. Like it was like I would move into a place like in Queens, and then the next day they started major construction on the building attached to my building. And then 7 a.m. This happened a few times. Then there was one time, I don't even know if I told you this, Jay. In that place that I live near you, that little studio apartment with the white tiled room.
yeah.
They like a month after I moved in, like an Irish family moved in, like
upstairs.
Yeah, right? Upstairs.
That was the kids that would just thump nonstop, right?
It wasn't even just. It's so funny because like now I have a kid. Like I would actually kill somebody if they ever like did what I did to this family. Like it's like they're fucking kids. We were all kids at one time. You piece of shit. Dude,
I know. But there's also a part of you kind of goes like, don't have kids in this shitty situation,
dude. They were fucking. It was the first night. It sounded like they were just dragging furniture across the floor. And because they were brand new from Ireland, they were like jet lagged. So they were up like 3 a.m. and it just sounded like they were moving couches back and forth. So after an hour, sort of like banging on the ceiling. I was like, what are you doing up there? What it was kids with like, you know, little like play toys, like a lawnmower, like the thing with things that pop up. And it was these two little toddlers, adorable little Irish toddlers, just fucking playing with their toys. But it was like 3 a.m. every day, and it was right above my head. It was obnoxious on their end too. Like if you
there's something when you're living in an apartment like that, it is a little, to have your kids up at 3 a.m. doing that's a little bit nutty. I will say, as somebody who has, well, I guess my older one is not a toddler anymore, but I have a 3-year-old.
She's a baby still. You shut up, Dave.
I know, she really is. Anyway, but I have them, and I got all those toys, the lawnmower and things. It is insane the amount of noise it makes. Like when you go downstairs, if they're running around playing upstairs, I mean, it sounds like it sounds like something out of like a roadhouse bar fight is happening upstairs.
I thought a family of midgets was moving furniture around nonstop. It was like a little steps, but then it was like.
Can we see if we done? Can we Google like Earth and see like the places we grew up?
Google Earth, yeah.
Can we Google Earth that?
Do you have the technology? Like you to Google the Earth?
No, Google Earth. I remember my address growing up.
I remember my address growing up too. Let's see who looks shittier from a Google Earth perspective.
Yeah.
I can. You want to go first?
Yeah. Let me know when you're ready for it, Alex or Mike.
Who knows if they're even here?
Give me 1 second. I haven't used Google Earth in a while.
Are you guys even here?
I'm here.
No, I don't.
Where's G Mike?
G Mike is joining in a minute. He was doing a rental recording at the studio and traveling home.
Okay.
Motherfucker.
What a cunt.
Cock.
All right.
Sucker.
Let's do it. Google Earth.
Crazy. I still remember this. So 7430 Brockton Road, BROCK.
Philadelphia, right there.
Yep, there it is.
Here's your house. You got a fucking tennis court?
That's a park.
You have all your own park?
Yeah. How back is my park? Can you see it from like the front and shit like that?
Yeah, you can zoom in further. It'll keep going. You go down to the street view.
That roof.
Hold on. I'm looking for.
Is this a satellite image, like in real?
No, it's not in real time.
Yeah, so this is much nicer than when I grew up in already as I'm looking at it.
And zoom out, go like the big thing again. But you can see it's just like a grid of like fucking.
Yeah, just like condos, essentially.
No. It was apartments or row homes. It says hit the little person for the street view, someone says.
Let's see.
And then.
Ooh.
Ooh, there you go. Now, if you go look at Maya.
Man, it looks so much nicer before we came down here.
No, yeah, it's just fucking like.
That guy's got to take care of his lawn.
Rojas Perez.
Now, if you go look at my school looks like a fucking prison, which was just up the street.
Where's the school?
Go wide view again.
Okay.
I don't know the address of it.
How do I get out?
These are trashy people. They have this little toy house in the front. Be like,
exit street view. Now, go have the screen go up.
Which way is school from your house?
School right there, Robert E. Lamberton Elementary School, bottom of the screen. But that's not an elementary school. It's kindergarten through 12th grade.
Whoa, hold on.
Yeah, see what I mean? It's not like, it is a nice area. But there is like front lawns, no backyards. Yeah, that's the school I went to. I mean, it's just fucking gates over the windows.
You went there?
Yeah, that's like what a public school looked like, though. I feel like, you know, like that's like what the public school I went to kind of is like. It's bigger than that, but
yeah, that's where I went from kindergarten.
Look at this crossing guard. Fuck you, man.
From kindergarten to from kindergarten to 11th grade. Yick.
It's not terrible. Like looking of an area.
It was just but I'm telling you, Christine
trashy.
Christine went to school in California. When other people at the bonfire, even Soder, when they show their high schools, dude, you're like, of course you would have team spirit. It's like crazy look. They're like beautiful.
My high
complexes.
I lived North Rockland area, went from being like very nice and affluent, like in Stony Point. That was like the nicer area to like really fucking like broken down and run down in Havistraw, West Havistraw. Now, West Havistraw was even more depressing than Havistraw. Havistraw, it was all Dominicans and Puerto Ricans, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you get into white poverty, there's just something that's way more depressing about it. I don't know, because you're expecting
more. Something that's not supposed to exist.
You had every opportunity, you piece of shit.
Well, when you look at like Puerto Rican and Dominican poverty, you're like, right? And then when you see white poverty, you're like, what?
It's also like it wasn't wrong? Even like a lot of the people in Havistraw, Dominicans and like Puerto Ricans, a lot of people owned their homes. It's just, they weren't nice homes, but they still owned them. Like, you know, the mom would cook a Puerto Rican or Dominican meal every night. Like, it was just.
Well, yeah, I drove through South Philly the other day, Super Bowl Sunday, to get food. And when you're going through it, I was with Josh Edemars with me. He was kind of asking about the area and stuff. And it's so crazy. It's like,
what happens if you go down this street?
I mean, people buy those houses down there that are just like connected to 12 other houses. The front's just like shitty. And it's like,
I'm looking at houses right now, dude. There's houses for sale in Patterson that are really nice. And I'm like, it's like, goddamn, dude. That's.
By the way,
mansion costs $420,000.
By the way, I moved. I moved out in Jersey. It's so funny when you say it. Like, the place I live in is pretty big, but I don't know anything about Paterson, New Jersey, at all. That wasn't like my childhood lookout for that place. That was always Camden.
Yeah, Paterson South is adjacent Jersey. To where you live.
Yeah. So, but people always go, like, dude. It's right near Patterson. I'm like, doesn't feel like it when I'm in my area.
No, I live a couple towns over from Patterson too. Patterson is just genuinely the fucking hood. But those people, they're on heroin. They can't get to us.
It's white hood.
Yeah. Even no. Patterson
no,
is
no.
Black.
No.
Black heroin.
Black. Well, it's white heroin, black crack.
Okay, that makes sense.
Freaking Ricans.
You were saying crazy shit.
No,
my pussy and my crack.
In West Havistraw, it was a lot of, it was mixed. It was like black, Latino and white, but there was a lot of white people in West Havistraw, and they were just poor. It's the equivalent of like a trailer park without there being trailers. It was all like just three family houses. You know what I'm saying? Like a house that had three different units. If you type in 52 Benson Street or 54 Benson Street, that's the house that I grew up in. Once my mom, after my dad was murdered, when she came to live with us, my aunt lived at 52 Benson Street. And we moved right next door. My mom got the apartment right next door, 54 Benson Street. Pull that up, Alex.
I feel like we looked up yours once before because you were like, maybe. Must be because you were like, this is where my uncle punched me or something. Or you had to do something with your uncle.
No, my uncle ran past the house as my bully's uncle chased him.
Dude, it's so funny. I mean, this is one of the best stories I've ever heard in my life.
What's funny is they look similar, like kind of small lawn thing, but like the houses are separate.
Okay, so let's see now. Okay, so this one right here is 54 right there, and 52 dump. Is right to the right.
Dump.
It's a dump, yeah. 52, my aunt lived in the front unit. We lived in the front unit. When my mom was getting fucked by this guy named Izzy.
Nice.
Me and my sister came over from my
male aunt's. Izzy.
Yeah, male Izzy.
Yeah, Adesanya.
And we see those four windows right there in the front of the house.
Mm-hmm.
My sister stood up on a milk crate and watch my mother get fucked by this guy, Izzy. And then she started screaming through the window, "You're not my mother." And she ran next door to my aunt's house. Go to the backyard.
Wow.
Go in between those two houses. She's such a mess. One of my only memories of my father is my father walking in between these two houses. Coming to like visit us. Yeah.
Person view.
I think street view doesn't give you backyards. You have to be in the street.
Oh, right. That's right.
Yeah, but it was rancid.
It's
to go back to the train tracks.
I had family that definitely lived like in these kind of places too.
These train tracks, we used to play on these train tracks all the way back here. We used to find dead possums.
Just throw rocks at the train.
Fun.
Yeah, we used to leave pennies on the train tracks.
See if it would mush them.
Yep. Never could find one of those pennies though. But it was like all the woods that are back here, like all like a wood area.
Back up. Look at this. There was a superstar in the neighborhood back here. A couple of fucking above groundies. Booyah.
Well, no. Behind where we're at right now, 54, there used to be an underground pool right there. Where the arrow's on right now was an in-ground pool that my landlord owned. And I would always like stare at it outside of the gate as my grandchildren would play. And I remember one of my most cringy things ever, like, this kid Ryan Nolan's sister Carly was doing a handstand in the pool, and I was just looking through the gate, and I was like, I could do that if I was in there. Oh, it makes me cringe every time I think about it.
I thought it was gonna be more a sexualized charge thing. It was more just like, I want to do what that girl's doing.
I want to eat your pussy, Carly. Carly, let me eat your pussy.
That would have been so much
pussy
cooler
upside down in a pool.
No, it was like me just wanting to go in the pool,
being like, can I play?
Yeah, it was really bad, and I had no parent to like smack me in the head, be like, have some fucking pride. All right, we're going to bowling.
Or a parent that would teach you how to make friends with a person or something.
No, we did make friends with them. They were like, all of my bullies were kind of friends as well. You know what I'm saying? Like when you're that young, when you're like six, they would like beat me up, but I would still like play baseball and manhunt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They called it Kill the Nigger was the game. I'm not even kidding about
Jesus.
That. And I was the nigger every time.
Well, you got to have one.
Smear the Queer was the one with the football.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they were a little less creative. They didn't even care about it rhyming.
They were like, hey, dude, we got nothing against gay people.
This game's called Take the Country Back from the Goddamn Blacks.
Yeah, dude, it was fucked up, man.
He goes, what is it? He goes, it's essentially freeze tag, but.
Oh, shit. It was kind of a rough.
I moved so much that I almost don't know what to Google. I lived in like 11 different apartments.
What was your shittiest?
The shittiest.
The place I showed you was, we lived on the top floor of a duplex. Our next place was right across the street, and it was just a full-size house in one of those.
Not the shittiest.
Buildings.
I'm trying to think. What was the, like, you know, I had there. I'll do this one. I think this is the right address. Do 329A 12th Street, Brooklyn, New York.
Was A the apartment?
No, yeah. It was just, they were small little, like, not brownstones, but like townhouses. And so they had A and B. But it was, we actually had like a little bit of a, it, we, I had smaller apartments in nicer areas, if it makes sense. And then like bigger apartments in shittier areas.
So I mean, look at that, this new city. That's where all the rich Jews lived.
I know. I looked at on Zillow and a lot of beautiful place up there, but I heard it's very, very Hasidic.
Why are you not? No, not a new city. Muncie's where all the Hasids live.
What? You just put in my address and it's still on Lewis's house?
New city. If you're looking in Rockland, you should have asked me. New city is a really, really nice area. There may be some Hasids here and there, but yeah, they're not taking over that area.
I heard that in Suffern. They're taking over.
Well, the word suffer is in the name.
Suffering.
You have to suffer by around these Jews.
I'm going to suffering with these Jews.
Why is my one the only one that Google Maps refuses to go to?
Maybe take the A out. Oh, here we go.
Yeah, there we go.
I don't know why I did that. Here we are.
Yeah, we're getting in there.
Oh, David, your tree.
Let's see if I have, you know, honestly.
Okay, baby.
No recollection.
This is not. No, it's not the right one. I think I got the address right. It's the block. This is the block I grew up on.
We should get
for 4 years.
She can mosey on down the block.
A little stroll. What neighborhood is this, Dave?
It's Park Slope.
Yeah, Park Slope is like nice now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nothing like that. Now this is like super expensive, nice area. It was real white trash.
Dude, where did I live? I lived in Fort Greene. That was like extreme ghetto at one point. Like really, really bad.
Well, you lived there when it was like on the path coming up.
Yeah, it was like it was starting to be expensive. Yeah.
When I was a fucking kid, where you lived there was like, if you walked there at night, you were going to get jumped. Not like even like you might get jumped. Like you would not. Those project buildings.
Not me.
Fort Greene. You'd get it worse.
Not me, dude. I'd just fucking do that to all the kids.
House everybody.
No, you would probably just hand them your wallet before they could even come up to you. But like me and Jay would get jumped. They'd have to fight us for it.
Well, they couldn't get Jay's wallet. It's on a chain. They can never get away with it.
You're going to kill me or break my belt. You're going to kill me or take my pants.
Excuse me. Did you kidnap this guy? I go, like, in our defense, we were just trying to mug him, but it was a package deal. So
I just wanted his wallet, but goddamn it, that came along with a pair of pants.
This guy's asking me what's for lunch. It's really it's a tough thing. But it was very it was a mix. There was like a little bit of like. Everything. There were a few Hispanic kids on the block. There was one Muslim family on the block, and I don't think there were any black families on that block.
The Muzzies came as the blacks.
Yeah, they were. You know, we had what we needed.
The scariest place in New York I ever lived, which was kind of barely, but I mean, I had to get my car stolen pretty quick. I just didn't know, and I didn't know you guys yet, either of you. But I moved to where I live with Kurt. Initially,
right.
But it was a house. It was the first floor.
Not long before we all met, I think. Right.
Not long. But maybe a year, maybe. But because I met you in my next place, the third floor. But that place, we were only there for a year. So, but yeah, we had the first floor of the house, and the guy was a repo man. He had the whole thing like caged off, like the front of the house was like padlocked to get in, which sucked. But there was always like. Fucking beautiful cars in our just on the lawn and like these crazy dogs in this big cage. And but that neighborhood was like I just got a story because they said Astoria, and it was technically Astoria, but it was like my cross street was Vernon Boulevard, which is just I was a 5-minute walk from Queensbridge Projects. So it was kind of shitty over there. Like the block didn't look bad. It was just bordering very bad.
You said you had your car stolen?
Yeah.
Like they just took the car?
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know what car stolen means. I need more clarification. That's
you're
crazy.
Telling me someone who was not the rightful owner of
your
car.
Oh, no, you know what? I'm wrong.
Car.
I'm wrong. It was broken into. They didn't steal the whole car. My car was broken into.
Oh.
But it sucked. Yeah, I've had my car stolen before. Kirk got my car stolen for me.
It's crazy. Like, I couldn't imagine, like I have a thief mentality. Which, by the way, I'll tell you guys a great scam. It's not even a scam. This is like straight up stealing, but I thought of it today at the gym. But like I couldn't, like in my mind, I was like, if you take a car, you're getting caught. How far can you really get with a car? Like, what's the next step? I go to a chop shop. Where do I find a chop shop? Is this fucking Gotham City? What is this? But all right. So this is a great scam that I thought of today. that younger Lewis, I swear to God, 10 years ago, Lewis, even since we started this podcast, Lewis would have done this. So I go to a pretty nice gym. I go to Lifetime Fitness. And any nice gym has, you know, the locks on the lockers already, right? Where you essentially, there's dials and you set the code and you turn it and then you scramble it and you have to turn the dials back to your code. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Dave? Oh, yeah, sure. With right near the weight machine.
pull up like like an Equinox locker.
God damn it, Dave. You're slowing this down for no reason.
Well, I just want you, because you have to understand.
I got it.
But it's not the one at the hotel where you type in the code and then you hit the lock button.
No.
It's specifically the one with the dials.
I'm aware.
Now, I'm going to need to see this. And let me see the hotel one, too, to contrast the differences.
I got
to
go blow my nose. It's too far away, Alex.
Gotta go ahead. Zoom in a little bit closer. All right, yeah. Zoom in now. Zoom in. All right. So, Dave, you see? Go to one above.
Yeah. Now that I see it, it was completely unnecessary for the story for you to show me these pictures.
No. But I want to show everyone else the pictures too. So go up. Not the ones on the left, but the actual ones with the dials on the right. Go up. Right. Those. Right. So the way it works is those four little black things. It's not close enough to see. But they're dials, and you'd set each one to a different number, right? So you do, you know, got 1, 2, 3, 4, right? And I just thought of this today. I was at the gym.
And the area with the key shaped hole. What is that?
That's in case you forget your code. They can come in.
Got it.
So there's no cameras inside of the gym locker room. It's against the law to have cameras inside of the gym locker room. So, what you can do is. Because I saw a guy today specifically take out his Rolex, put it on, and then, you know, he got dressed and left. And I was like, well, most of the time people are always doing the same code. You make up the code. You're not going to change your code ever. You're going to always do it. But also, when you're done with the locker, nobody redoes the dials. So he walked away and I just looked and I was like, that's his code every time. I was like, so all you got to do is watch that guy come in. Wait till he gets undressed, right?
1, 2, 3, 4, Mr. Rolex. Not very creative.
But you can, like, it's one of the, it's a guaranteed fucking scam or wallet, whatever you need from these people.
And there's no cameras allowed in the locker room.
No, exactly. No cameras allowed in the locker room. You would have heard that if you weren't blowing your nose.
Yeah.
Gas Digital says they turn the dials after. No, they don't. No, they don't.
I think a lot of people do. I definitely
would, for sure.
You would turn the dials after you left the locker. No way.
Yeah.
No way.
I would never think to do that because I couldn't imagine there were Lewis's in the world
who would be
watching
gym.
Me.
Just a piece of shit get in here.
But dude, you can literally just watch that guy after he leaves, get his code, and then wait another day in the locker room to see him come in, put everything in there, and then just steal his fucking Rolex out of his locker.
And then pray to God they don't assume it's the only Puerto Rican who goes there.
Who's pacing the locker room every day. Taking pictures
staring
of
at this guy, asking questions about this particular guy. What's this guy's deal? Does he seem litigious or
that's a solid fucking scam.
It's not bad.
It's fucking, I at Equinox, I used to just assume that people weren't going to steal shit because it was a high end gym. And I left my wallet in the locker one time and my whole wallet was stolen. I still don't have a social security card to this day.
It is a weird thing where you would, I mean, what is Equinox or your nice gym? What does it cost around? So I remember I used to pay for one of them.
$360 a month.
Yeah, it was right. That's like around what Equinox was too. I think it was like $300 a month. It's just crazy to me that anyone who's got $300 a month to spend on a gym is taking someone's wallet.
Well, so it wasn't. When I got my wallet stolen, it was they used to, every once in a while.
No, oh, shit.
I was in
Black
sales.
Black Friday deal.
Well, it was, speaking of Black Friday, it was what you'd get somebody that would come in and they would want to get a guest pass, and it's some ghetto ass person. And you'd be like, oh, this person is just getting a guest pass so they can go and check the locker room for sure.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah, I'm interested.
You want to work out? Yeah.
Yeah. It would always be like, anytime you'd get a ghetto ass person, be like, all right, watch them in the locker room. You'd send management in to like keep their eye on them.
Really?
Yeah. People will say that's racial profiling, but it just makes so much sense.
Yeah. I mean, Stop and Frisk worked for a reason. They're like, it's racial. Like, those are the people committing the crimes. What do you want me to do here?
Is it a funny sketch to say I'm a racial profiler, but I just draw side shots, but very racistly, like big lips on black people, big honkers on Jews?
You're a piece of shit, dude.
I'm a racist profiler.
You're
not the worst starting place I've ever heard.
Somebody said it's
a very racial thing.
It's not a scam. It's petty theft.
I saw that.
It's I think it's grand theft larceny or something.
It might be grand larceny at that much for a Rolex.
If you're taking a Rolex, that's got to be more than petty theft.
And that's why I'm saying it's also worth to spend the $360 on the membership. If you get a couple Rolexes out of it.
Oh, yeah, it pays for itself, for sure. Easily. One Rolex a year, and you're paying for yourself.
If you guys see me with a Rolex in the next month, just know, I did not buy that Rolex.
Yeah.
If you see Lewis with a Rolex, and you lost a Rolex at a gym, just know, Lewis took your Rolex.
You pulled off your scam.
Yeah, I used to want a Rolex, too, but now I don't.
I've never seen a Rolex that I liked that wasn't the amount of money I would never spend on a watch.
Well, the problem with they're not that nice.
That's what I mean. The most basic level Rolexes do say nothing to me at all. I got my stepfather one that I thought was really nice. And I liked for him, but like,
which one was it? Do you remember?
I don't know. Like a white face. It was nice. It was very nice.
Yeah. I was on a waiting list for one for a minute. And when it finally came in, I just didn't have the expendable $17,000 that I would have had to spend on it. And then I'm really happy I didn't, because it was actually Jake Shields posted this in between his Jew rants. He was like,
there's some good stuff in there. If you can wade through all those Jew rants, there's some good stuff in there.
He goes, he's like, don't buy a Rolex until you could afford to buy 10 Rolexes. And I was like, that's a great standard of
that is a fantastic way to put it. But whatchamacallit. Yeah. Also though, but when Lewis gets hyped, which I appreciate, this happens to me too sometimes, you get like a boyish giddiness that spreads throughout your whole being for a little bit. So when Rolex was your thing for a minute, whoever got in your head about Rolex, at one point it was like Dave, it's like, guys, we should, instead of getting money, we should get Rolexes or so for something.
Oh yeah, for Skankfest.
Me and Dave had a side conversation that goes, I don't want a Rolex.
I'd just rather the money. Here's the thing: a Rolex. And somebody,
I know it's an investment for sure. It's an investment.
It but it's actually not really, right. So they say Rolex is an investment. That's what guys tell their stupid wives.
Yeah. What about when the bottom falls out and this is the only thing we have to sell in the zombie apocalypse?
nobody's buying a Rolex to really ever sell it. It's just it's a status thing. You see a dude wearing a Rolex, you're like, oh, it's a nice watch.
If you're selling your Rolex, you're a junkie. Like something terrible. You're a person who bought it when you shouldn't have.
Yeah.
And now your life is crumbled and you're selling it for. You're a gambling addict or something.
The only thing a Rolex is for is a gift. If you're gifted a Rolex, or
when you were talking about that, when you were like, oh, maybe we'll just get the three of us Rolexes for whatever, the only thing that appealed to me was like, I guess it'd be something to give to my son.
He's
older. But that was the only, but then you're just like, it's like going to school to learn something and the only job you can do is teach. You're like, this is all a Ponzi scheme. Like I just wanted to give to him. He's only going to want it to give to someone else.
But it was like, it's like it's some new money shit. It was a few years ago when I first started making a little bit of money. Like it's the same reason I bought the fucking Audi. Yeah. It's like there was no reason for any of it. It was just
the validation of other people looking at you, knowing you have something.
Yep.
But that is a thing. It does come from the insecurity of growing up having nothing.
This is why I was the nigger and kill the nigger. They knew even then. They knew what I was gonna be.
It does make sense.
Yeah, but I'd almost rather I see Omegas, they're nicer watches, or
I genuinely have seen far more Omega watches that I liked. And then I told you I went to a place, I thought it was a significantly cheaper watch, but Hublot had one. At the end of the day, you have to fucking wear it. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, it's nice that it's like a fine timepiece, but it's like, I don't wear an Apple watch because I just don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, I love my watch. I'm going to give my son my watch when he graduates high school. That's going to just be his fucking nice watch. Tag. Yeah, it's a Tag Heuer.
Yeah.
But I would get a Breitling. I honestly like Breitlings and Omegas more than I like Rolexes, and they're half the price.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I went into, I wanted to buy a nice watch. I was like, I'm going to buy a nice watch. Let's get, and then, when I assumed, it's literally almost the same thing that you did, Jay, where I was like, I'll spend $600, $700, thinking that that's a lot of
money. Everyone laughed at me.
Yeah.
Mine, one of them was $1,200.
And then laughed. I went into Breitling, and dude, this is fucking so embarrassing. I was like, oh, that's a nice one. Let me see that one right there. And I was like, oh, how much is this? She's like, that's $6,500. And then I had to pretend that I was still interested in the watch for a good 5-10 minutes walking around the store.
I do that when I go try to get Christine like something for Christmas. I do it in one day. I just make my way to the store, like the department stores I know she likes, and I'll find something. And that is the worst when the guy goes, he goes, and that one is actually on sale right now for $111,000. And he goes, down from what? I go, that's crazy. And it's like, I you know what? My eyes keep coming back to this one, but let me keep looking around a little bit here, man. But I appreciate it. What's your name? Do you have a card? So if I do this, I can make sure you get the commission.
You have to walk out of the store like you're moonwalking.
Well, you know, it's funny. Again, it's like you have to remove like who you know and what you've seen at this point with wealth to go. Like when I did that, I bought the Movado watches. That's what I got. One was $300 that I liked, and the other one was $1,200, but down to like $900. It was like that was like one was like on sale, and I got those. And when Bobby said to me, I was like, his thing was like, some Movado goes, I mean, if you like it, he goes, what's it like? What was it, like 1,000, like 1,200? I go, yeah. And he was just kind of like shook his head at it, and I was like, it's fucking insane to wear $1,000 on your wrist.
Yeah,
I agree. That shit.
Well, we all dress in $45 jeans and $50 hoodies.
Yeah, I mean, no shit.
By the way, nice jeans. Like, I own maybe one pair of actual, because I always thought Levi's were nice because they're $80, $75. It was like, that's some fucking expensive shit. I bought like a $170 pair of jeans right before Skankfest. They fit so much better.
Oh, yeah.
They feel really nice.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just better. It's better quality. But $170 for jeans seems like batshit crazy. Like, only a multimillionaire would choose to spend that much money on jeans.
John in the chat, Levi's aren't nice, but I rock Levi's all the time.
I'll say I understand, and I've just gotten a little bit of a glimpse of this world. I do understand where there's something about, like, for example, if you were like in business or something like that, where you'd be like, listen, when you're wearing like a $3,000 suit with a Rolex, with you know what I mean? Like, someone else looks at you and goes like, oh, this dude is like a whale.
You're in the business of buying casinos?
Well, I just mean, if you were like at a high level in business, like there is a signal it's sending, like, take this person seriously. I can kind of understand that. It's just in our world, it's like, oh no, you judge us on like our stand up or on our podcasting or on our thing. We don't need the like a symbol.
Yeah, Rich Voss is focusing on the wrong thing.
I got the phone on my arm. These are two rubber things I got on St. Mark's. Like 6-7 years ago.
Well, but if your kids go to like one of these like elite private schools or something like that, and they are going to treat you different as a parent if you're there, if you're pulling up in like $100,000 car and you have like this type, because they go, oh, they might be donating to the school. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are some advantages I could see. I just don't really need any of those in my life. And I've never been a watch guy.
$100,000 car is another bonkers thing.
$100,000 car is not even that nice of a car. To be honest with you.
I know. Like an Escalade starts like 120 something, I think.
If I would have gotten two Audis up, it would have been $95,000.
No, I know what I'm saying, but that's crazy.
Yeah, my Audi is 75 Gs.
For what I'm saying, that's crazy.
And when I totaled it, it was only worth 26 Gs in 4 years.
You got that used, though. Was it worth that when you got it?
No, 75? I had it. Mine was the, it had like 500 miles on it. It was the floor model or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
Or it was a loaner car that had only been loaned out like twice.
Mm-hmm.
A good deal. Yeah,
I got.
Pretty new. Yeah, but you still get a couple thousand off.
Yeah, I got a couple thousand off. It was 75,000 brand. I think I paid 72,000 for it or whatever.
Well, it's just because money doesn't mean anything anymore. Price.
You killed it.
Well, that is true. You did pay in losing your clothes.
I'm not even saying if you have that kind of, like, you know, you say the 10. If you could afford 10 Rolexes, get a Rolex. If you got that kind of money. And the car that you're just like, yo, I want this car. I'm just saying the idea that like something can cost that much for what it's definitely going to do and have happen. Like, it's just a very exposed to like everything you're paying for on the outside for sure is going to be dinged up and whatever. And you got to keep.
Well, it's also, can I tell you right now? So my new car doesn't have, it has a lot of the same like bells and whistles, but it doesn't have like it doesn't make a noise when I'm backing up. It has the backwards camera, but it doesn't go beep 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 like when you're parking. Like, but
oh my god, you hit so many things in the old car.
I know, because I was depending on it, and I'd like zone out, and it never fucking did. But now I pay attention more, because when I'm backing up, I'm going, they're not going to ding me.
Why didn't I listen to my toot?
Dude, Lewis just having to do the sound of the car is the best.
Seatbelt.
Yeah. It's all the bells and whistles are just Lewis.
You know the thing I don't like about
you guys want to listen to some tunes?
Give me the beatbox and burn my soul. Dude, it doesn't automatically, my rearview mirrors don't automatically come in when I park the car.
That is a pain in the ass.
When you hit the alarm, it doesn't? That.
No, they don't automatically come in.
You have to push get out. Them in.
And I have, well, there's an electric thing, I think, or I could just push them in with my hand, but I never do.
Fucking assholes. I thought that was usually on upon, like when you push the, when you lock it up with the alarm.
No, not my car.
It closes up. But yeah, anything like, listen, I said before, a real football jersey costs like $350. And it's like, you're supposed to wear it to a game where you're eating hot dogs and people throwing beer around.
Well, the hot dogs are $22.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. That's the craziest thing, to charge these money for things that are like,
There's one stadium in the country where the hot dogs are like a dollar and the sodas are like $1.50. They like made a whole thing
like a major league thing.
Major league thing, yeah. They were like, we're not ripping off our fans, and like,
interesting. They're like, these hot dogs cost so the fucking Falcons, 50, the 15 cents. The Atlanta Falcons, is that what it is?
It's a good fucking deal.
Yo, these facts.
Yeah, look it up, Alex or G Mike or whoever's here.
or whoever.
Do you think they're listening, or do you think they're just fingering themselves as we do the show?
I'm fingering myself.
Yeah.
Nice.
Because I feel like you would just, as soon as we started having that conversation, I feel like it would just be something that you're automatically looking
at. Odds are, she's off camera so much, so odds are at some point during the show, she's touched her pussy. I'm not saying she's fingered herself or anything, just like a scratch. Maybe a lip was getting tucked and she pulled a lip out at some point.
Do you
point.
Think that Alex ever just does like a loud fart and makes a face during it?
Yes.
Like their mic's off, she's like.
And I don't know why, but I can picture the face.
Yeah.
So do you guys want to know about the hot dogs? Or
no, I want to know about your farts.
Talk to me about your farts and that time you scratched your buzzy while we were talking.
The Miami Marlins, the Arizona Diamondbacks, and the Minnesota Twins all have hot dogs for $3 each.
Wow. It's all baseball, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is it the Atlanta Falcons, too, or is it not the Atlanta Falcons?
Arizona Diamondbacks, not the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay. So, yeah.
Thanks for giving us wrong information, John Popeck, you fucking asshole.
Real nice, dude.
That is cool, though, that there's a few stadiums who still do that. I did not know that at all. I assume they all just charged...
John Popeck says
prices.
He's right. Cross-check it.
Cross-check the Atlanta Falcons stadium prices.
We may owe him an apology. I guess, see, here's the thing. Baseball, you might as well. I mean, you have, what is it, 80-some home games a season? I mean, like, it's fucking the turnover, those things. Also, you need people, and because of that, you need people to show up. So you
need people to
reasons.
Show up. And then also, like, I wonder, like, I understand the margin isn't as good on, like, one hot dog, but you'd probably order two hot dogs. People, they probably don't make that much less money based off of that whole system.
Here's the thing.
The amount of people that's... That,
but again, you get people in there, and then you charge them $200 for a jersey.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, they're there.
So the Falcons lowered their hot dog price from $8 to $2 in 2017.
All right, Popeck.
I'll be right back. 1 second.
Dave's going to
buy
a
hot dog.
Dave's going to
Atlanta.
Can't
believe it. He's like, holy shit, buy hot dogs in Atlanta. He's talking to a stockbroker.
Oh, shit.
Buy.
I mean, I don't know when the last time I had a hot dog. We should do plugs, yeah. But
so plugs? Yeah, while Dave's gone. How great is Story Wars going, dude? Is it nuts?
Crushing it, dude. We're doing the mothership.
Dude, so good.
We're going to do the mothership next month.
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
Two shows.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting.
Are we going to, I think we should make it surprises, our guests. We already have three confirmations. That are pretty sick.
I'm going to make a pretty penny flipping these hot dogs. And I'll be
bought low. He's selling hot.
I'm charging $27 a hot dog. But Lewis, oh, you probably make just as money charging $1. Nope, you make a lot more charging $30.
They're already calling him the Martin Shkreli of the hot dog scam.
Shkreli did get a bad rap, but he explained it on the show. But now that clip just keeps on going viral. What he explained on the show was that he was just charging the insurance companies more money, and he was giving it away for free to people that were buying it individually.
Well, can I say this? He explained something, which here's the thing, it was true. And Shane was, of course, forgive him the most pushback, too, because I did hear his point. But, like, the reality was, because I went back and listened to that again, I would always kind of not defend him, but just say, you know, he was just saying the thing was everybody thought his was the only one because there was no generic. But he's like, there was a generic. But, like, he also did explain, like, that no one knew that was the generic version. Do you know what I mean? Like, that came out, like, later.
Yeah, but so it really wasn't his job. As a business person, he's trying to make as much money as possible. There weren't people that couldn't get the drug. There weren't people that couldn't afford it.
And
it was
unscrupulous.
Insurance companies who take advantage of us.
But I think there's most people who couldn't afford it.
You can't like Luigi Mangione and hate Martin Shkreli. That's the point.
Oh, I don't like Luigi Mangione.
Neither do I.
Oh, I don't like Luigi. Martin's a hero.
I don't understand why people. I mean, people are just really like, is that how like cold and lunatics people have become? Like, genuinely they feel that way? It's like, good guy died.
There were a ton of people who felt that way.
He got $300,000 in fan donations.
Well, also, like, you chicks are so retarded that, like, they actually, there's a, you know, Jay, like, you fucking watched that show about it, right? Like, all those, no matter what you did, if you're an inmate, you could get a girlfriend on the outside who's like...
Oh, forget that. We talked about it before. They called the kid the Boston Bomber thing. Like, they put that fucking picture out, and everyone's like, oh, my God, what a little cutie.
Yeah, the Mangione thing, the amount of people that are like, I would actually argue with people. I'm like, no, I'm not defending insurance companies. I'm saying that somebody who murders somebody and takes that into his own hands and just murders it one guy, it's not changing it. It's not actually
That you're like, there's also just like the basic psychological level of it's like, no, you're a fucked up evil person because you just fucking like murdered someone in cold blood who has a family and like whatever. It doesn't, you know, whatever the fuck they do.
Kelsey, your thoughts?
Kelsey, oh, you wanted to chime in?
Kelsey, your thoughts?
Kelsey, you've been all over this for months now.
And yeah, by the way, the stock is right back up, as I said it would be, because it dropped.
Wait, what is the stock? What?
The United Healthcare stock. It's right. All they're gonna make the insurance companies think again. It's like, no, they won't. It's not gonna. It actually put United Health.
No, they make the guy who's the CEO now is like, thank God you moved that guy out of the way. Yep. Now I can rake in all these profits.
Listen, yep. I'm sure there's a great way to fix the whole system of medical insurance. I know personally, first time in my life this last year or two where I've had just like bullshit insurance because it's the one I can get, and I think that's batshit crazy. So it's like the only time I've even thought about that before, but it's also not like my life's mission, man. I don't know. It's like, I don't really like give it, you know what I mean? Like for, to be that angry at it, I know there's a way to change it for the better, but no one's doing that.
Yeah. It's not shooting a healthcare CEO, is not making other CEOs, not putting them on blast, not making them think twice about the profits that these big companies get. It's like it was a story for a week.
What's the answer? How do we fix this? How do we fix insurance in this country, Dave?
Get the government out of the way. Let the market do it.
But then the market does it. But then what does it cost then? How does it work?
Much less.
But the market does it. How? Nope. Give me the five dollar explanation.
Well, I don't. There's nothing like for Legion of Skanks for me to break down health insurance policy. But do you remember, Jay, the one where the dude flew a plane into the IRS building?
Yeah.
And by the way, his manifesto was badass too. Like, it was like, here's my pound of flesh. And like, it was, but
yeah.
Even I'm the most anti IRS guy there is, but you're like, but you didn't do anything. Like, you killed Janet. Works for the IRS.
It's from HR.
Like no tax debt was like relieved for regular people. Like it's just like none of this.
No, it's the thing. It's like, they want you to go. It's like, well, this will happen if things aren't changed for me personally.
Yeah.
It's like, no, not at all.
Yeah, it's retarded. The people that think that way, it's just an oversimplified way of looking at things. It doesn't change anything systemically. It's just,
and it's an excuse. It's just
a guy was fucking murdered. That's what happened. Regardless, he might have been an evil CEO. He could have been. By the way, there's CEOs. They act like it's just inherently. There's plenty of CEOs that don't take salaries. That the company is like in shambles and they don't make any money at all. There's plenty of CEOs that are just the CEO of a company that's a startup that's hemorrhaging money and they're never going to make money
or whatever. Just, or maybe they make a lot of money, but they're good at their job and they made the company a lot better and it provides a better service for their customers. Like, I don't know. I mean, health insurance is a fucked up industry, but like, I also just hate the kind of like demonizing successful people. Like, what you're but let a me bad ask, guy but let me ask this, just but for what's being
the,
rich.
That's why I'm saying, where's the fix come in? That's almost what I was kind of asking you, Dave, on the most basic level. Like, you know, they always have the joke, Tylenol is $20 and the ride in the, yeah, well, the ride in the ambulance was, you know, $500 or whatever. And you're like, well, who can change that? Like, that's the issue. That's why insurance fucks you, because the prices are stupid.
Yeah, it's all government involvement and crazy laws being written. It's also the reason Obamacare limited. Again, this is just going to get into a political conversation, but
it's okay, dude. We all live in the suburbs now. Let these city fucking queefs get out of here, dude. A couple of dads talking shop about the burbs, man. Now, yeah, Trump can't fix it all tomorrow, Dave. What happens today?
Let's do plugs real quick, because I want to make another coffee as well. Can I go first? Is that okay?
Sure.
Come see me on the road, lewisofskanks.com. Sign up for my mailing list. I'm giving away Skankfest tickets. I got a bonus podcast. I got a fucking newsletter every week. On the road next weekend. Well, next week, me and Jay are doing Story Wars at the Comedy Store on Wednesday night. Those tickets are just about sold out. So if they're not sold out completely yet, get them now, because they're going to sell out in advance. I know it's a low ticket morning. There's only a couple categories of tickets left. Then that weekend, I'm going to be in Salt Lake City, Utah, which I'm very, very excited about. Come out to Wise Guy Salt Lake City. It's going to be a blast. South Bend, Indiana, at the end of March. We're going to be doing the Comedy Store. I'm sorry. We're doing the Comedy Mothership. We're doing at the end of March as well. We're doing Story Wars, two shows at the Mothership, Raleigh, North Carolina, St. Catharines, Ontario, London, Ontario, Windsor, Ontario, Burlington, Ontario, Philadelphia. All that's up on my website and a lot more. Just go to lewisofskanks.com. Check out the other pods, the Lewis and Zach Show, the Regs, and Story Wars. And Skankfest tickets May 2nd. Skankfest tickets go on sale, so look out for that as well. Do not sleep on that. That's going to be an incredible fucking weekend. And my special is being taped July 12th in Tampa, Florida at Sidesplitters Comedy Club. Bobby Kelly's directing. Zach Amico's opening the whole weekend. If you can't make it Saturday night, come on Thursday or Friday. I'm going to be running through the set and I need as many people there as possible. But yeah, get those tickets early as well, because they will also sell out.
Davey.
I got a bunch of stuff coming up. I did the debate at Princeton University last night, and that's up now if anybody wants to go watch that. And I won in dominant fashion, which was kind of weird.
Is winning in debate, they don't actually like score these things. It's
no, there's a win. It was an Oxford style, so there's a winner and a loser.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Neat. It's that's fucking awesome. Who's it against?
The guy was Josh Hammer. He's a senior editor for Newsweek. It was kind of, it was pretty surreal being a college dropout going to an Ivy League school and winning this debate. So that was a fun one. But I got a bunch of stand-up dates coming up. February 20th, 21st, 22nd, I will be at the Punchline in Houston, Texas. And then the following week, I'll be up at Helium in Buffalo, New York. My first time there. Very excited. I've heard great things about that club. And then back in Boston at Laugh Boston. I love that spot. And then Nashville, I think all three of us are doing some shows in Nashville. There's a bunch of shows. Jay's doing a show, I'm doing a show, and then the three of us are doing a show together.
We're on Kid Rock's comedy Bonanza Jamza.
Yep, I'm doing that for the first time.
Did you see him just walk off stage the other night? You see he had like a fit and walked off stage the other night?
Really? No, I didn't see that. Maybe we should play that video after plugs. And then, back at American Comedy Company in San Diego. That's one of my favorite clubs in the country. And then Appleton, Wisconsin, Salt Lake City, Wise Guys, another great one. First time ever, by the way, we're getting into the summer now, but for the first time ever, I will be at Comedy Works in Denver, which I'm very, very excited to do. And then a bunch of Hilarities, all my favorite spots, Hilarities, Tacoma Comedy Club, Spokane Comedy Club, Side Splitters in Tampa. And I got a few more in there that should be up on the website in the next week or so. But yeah, comicdavesmith.com for all those ticket links. Come see me on the road. Partoftheproblem.com for my other political podcast. And that is all.
Do you have anybody filming you on the road, Davey? Can you make clips and shit?
I do not. You should. I really probably should.
You should start getting on that, yeah.
I need a Dylan, is what you're saying? I need a Dylan in my life?
No, but you don't have to have it. No, you could have locally in those cities. If you just have someone put the word out for you, somebody will come do it.
Well, what do you do? Do you like mic the crowd and shit like that? Or do you just...
I do have a mic for the crowd. I have like two cameras that are really good and shit. So it's like...
Yeah, I probably should get that together. You know, I don't...
But those clips become very bad. Well, let me do my plugs real quick.
Go ahead.
BigJComedy.com for all my dates, everybody. If you're listening to this on Friday night, you have one more day to see me in Syracuse. You're so psyched. Stop eating chicken fingers for 5 seconds and come see your boy. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But you only have Saturday left now at best. And, of course, the Comedy Store. Everyone, that's right. I'm doing a headline show at 8 p.m. February 19th. Right afterwards, 10:30 p.m., we're doing the Story Awards with a very, very fun panel coming on that. That weekend, then I'll be in Ontario, California at the Ontario Improv, one of my favorite clubs. Come check it the fuck out. Come party. Indianapolis Helium after that. Running straight through Magoobies. So much stuff. But most important news, everyone, coming out February 20th, the first half of my double crowd work special, Them, coming out February 20th on YouTube exclusively. So get that shit out there. And then I said, when that comes out, I'm going to be putting a Dropbox on my website, BigJComedy.com, where you can download all the B footage. And for you guys out there, they're, fucking editing savvy and stuff. You want to play around with it. Let's just get the fucking word out. Use all that shit and help me advertise. Someone told me that was a good idea. That's why I don't sound super confident in it. But I'm doing it.
Who was the person that told you? Great.
Just management team and stuff. I would have never thought of that. I would have been like, make two more specials out of that. So make sure you guys fucking help me out with that big time. Excited for you to see it. Very, very proud of it.
I mean, somebody's going to just take them and put them on YouTube, the entire uncut thing.
Okay. it's not the idea, but all right. Make sure you fucking support the shit out of that. Listen to The Bonfire 5 days a week, Faction Talk, Sirius XM 103, and Story Wars. America's favorite new game show obsession right here on the Guest Digital Network.
You see that Santino and Bobby Lear doing their own game show now? I don't know what it is, but they're stepping on our toes.
Are they?
Yeah.
Ooh. I think I'm doing a Tiger Belly podcast next week. Should I call them on it?
Yeah. Be like, what the fuck's going on?
You guys are jumping into a game show. We're kind of doing a game show.
Yeah.
Could the idea be better than this? Could it be?
It's all right. It's all right.
Who gives a shit? I was just saying, me and Dave are doing the Kid Rock Comedy Bonanza Extravaganza this year, and he just had a video where he walks off. He like storms off stage because people won't clap to Rolling on a River, I think it is. And he's standing next to Gabby Bryan's dad because it's his birthday party.
Oh, the Bon Jovi guy?
Yeah, it's his birthday party, and they're having it at John Bon Jovi's bar in Nashville, not Kid Rock's bar, and Kid Rock comes out to sing, I guess, Rolling on a River with him, and he's playing, you know, keyboards next to him, and Kid Rock just gets upset that not enough people are clapping along. In the beginning part, too, he goes, come on, y'all, clap. And he's like, you know what, y'all ain't going to clap, I'm fucking out of here.
Is there a video?
Yeah.
Is there a video of it?
It's so funny because like all the people, I don't want to be political, but all the people on the right were like, yeah, dude, everyone's just a celebrity fucker on the left. Celebrity endorsements don't mean anything. And now the celebrities are endorsing the right, everyone, but it's also just shitty celebrities. It's like Hulk Hogan and Kid Rock are your celebrity endorsements. And they're so happy about that. Gabby Bryant's in the crowd.
Don't get too fast.
I guess they got a keytar on stage.
Problem is that the clapping's dying down.
Yes.
Just this one fat chick.
He's trying to get him back into it. It's making him furious.
You know what? Fuck no. You ain't gonna clap. I'm going.
There's Gabby's dad. Like, kid.
No, Mr. Rock.
KR, kid, Bob.
What a hand job.
He's just obliterated, would be my guess. I think that guy just lives like beard up and fucking whatever.
Yeah, I think you gotta not be that.
he's the king of his castle where he's at. Dude. I mean, Nashville, he just dominates that place, dude. They love him everywhere he goes. You know what I mean? Like,
I would also be taking this position if I was booked on the Kid Rock Comedy Jam.
Yeah, no, I mean, a lot of brilliant artists are misunderstood. You know what I mean?
I told
you to clap, you got to clap.
I said on the show before when I did the Jelly Roll roast, I was like, he was behind me, and someone on Bert's team was like, hey, they were like, Kid Rock's like right behind you. I go, I swear to you, 3 years ago, this would have been the coolest thing in the world to me. I was like, I don't know.
A lot of them are too accessible now. So it's like, he's like, you see him in too many things involving comedy.
It's too many things involving comedy. And it's like his comfort, like the thing where you're like, you know, it's like, oh, hey, funny man, like to like Adam Ray or whatever. And he can't, and he's just like, you know, don't come at me, dude. It's just, I don't know. The whole thing is just, I'm like, it's not really, it shouldn't be as comedy adjacent as it is.
Yeah, the internet and everything has sort of brought too many people to the forefront and combined too many worlds.
Buddy, with Donnell Rawlings just sits there. I mean, I don't even know what you call his acceptance of this, but he's just like, yeah, Kid Rock loves saying the N-word. But like believing he's doing it in the most like, you know, I'm using the A, you know, that's like his vibe on it.
Like, he's like I'm Kid Rock, I have a pass,
right? Like, right. And it's like, like, and he, but it's like it, he lays it on nice and thick in front of like a Donnell and stuff, and Donnell's just kind of like, yeah, you know, it's like, it's cool. Like, Donnell will just go to his house still and hang all night. Like, he doesn't have like take a stand on it, I guess, but like, you know what I mean, like just something where it's like,
maybe he doesn't give a shit.
I feel like there's a thing.
Maybe he doesn't give a shit.
Comics,
well, let me just say this. Maybe he doesn't give a shit. But I'm telling you, that's not across the board thing. There's somebody doing it the same exact way with the same intent that he would give a shit.
Maybe.
Does that make sense?
I feel like it's a, I think
that's the star fucker thing.
Well, I think there's a kind of unique thing amongst comics where like they're a little bit more likely to just be like, yeah, I'm not giving this word like power over me. Say the fucking word if you want to. Like, no, I don't think
absolutely. But being like,
I think most is that. Do you think this? I think most funny black comics aren't going to like lose their mind over someone uttering the N word.
I don't think anybody losing their mind. I'm saying like being like, yeah, it's awesome. When I know he doesn't think it's awesome.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Does that make sense? Only because like there's a that would be a very big deal if just a different person was doing it in the same exact way.
To you know him, I mean? It would. Yeah, you
right.
Think so,
of course,
maybe you're right.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm saying, you're kind of like picking and choosing a little bit because of who the person like, is. I've never really, like I said, it's been a lot of the reasons why I haven't wanted to meet certain people because you're just like they could almost only let you down.
Well, I've always, me and Lewis have talked about this many times, like privately off air. But like, there's something where like, if you map like at the height of like wokeism, is when we would like say all the no words the most.
Yeah.
And then almost like I feel like now like the thing is like, it's like what's in is to like just say the most. And now I'm like, oh well, then I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
I don't care.
We were doing it when you could actually lose your career, and now people do it like unironically, and we're like, eh. I'll pick dude, my like, words.
It's amazing how much there were so many years where everyone on the left called everyone on the right a Nazi, and everyone on the right would be like, that's insane, there's no Nazi, blah, blah, blah. And now Kanye will come out and just be like, hey everyone, I'm a Nazi, and it's really just not even that big of a deal. It's just they're not outraged, even though now he's actually saying he's a Nazi. It's just weird. And you're almost like, I don't know exactly.
I think it just became like boring. Like it almost like the same, like anything else, like that whole, that side of the culture war became boring. And then there's also like a lot of just unironic racists now that like aren't even being funny. Like there's so much more of that. That's why like I don't really give a shit. I'll still say the N-word, because why would they come after a comedian when there's people unapologetically, unironically, and not a funny way using the N-word that are there, famous, like senators and shit.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know about senators, but
I don't know what the political... What I'm saying,
but is there people... Are there a lot of unapologetic racists in the world right now? I know it exists, I'm saying publicly there's like
on Twitter there are people that use the N-word, like
not celebrities and shit though.
I mean, what celebrity adjacent, what's his name, the guy who's got bald hair and glasses, is his brother
Louis J. Gomez.
He was just arrested. What the fuck's his name? I'm just drawing a blank.
Dave. Oh, like, Tristan or Andrew Tate.
Uses the N-word on Twitter like it's nothing.
But I think he's half black.
But I don't think he's using it because he's half black. I think he's trying to control.
He hates him. Yeah. No, I don't know. Yeah, but no, I get your point. It's just like such, I don't know. There's almost like a different thing where I felt like there was something righteous at the time when like woke shit was really sweeping comedy of being like, no, fuck you. We're not playing this dumb game. You know what I mean? But now when it's almost like that's the thing to do, it's like, oh, then I don't want to do it. That's
there's other factors too. We also had nothing to lose back then.
Given that's true, and we have
we definitely weren't we weren't thinking down the line of like this, like the landscape of everything changing so much. So yeah, without a doubt.
But I will say that
I also again like genuinely like I don't like regret any of it as far as
no me neither.
We're always trying to be funny. There's no like thing I said. You can't go back in our history and be like, I really regret going on that racist rant I went on, because that doesn't exist. If you were like, do you regret doing like the was it the nigger dicks episodes? I'm like, no, I'm like, they were very funny. Like,
we
weren't being racist. We were
Alex or G Mike just put in the chat BET's website as a list of big celebrities who have used the N-word. Please pull it up.
Oh no! Nice.
Oh my God! Yes, thank you BET for doing the on the ground research for us.
BET gets after it.
So the first one on the list is Gina Rodriguez. She's an actress.
Latina.
Yes.
Isn't that okay? It's like Fat Joe or Cypress Hill.
That's what I was always doing. I didn't think it was okay that Jay and Dave were doing it.
Justin Bieber.
Are we? Is there supposed to be a picture or something? There's not a picture. Just
I don't think the website is working right. I just have the information here.
Oh, okay. Wait, we missed a few.
Read the thing. Yeah, don't just read the names. Like, read what the lore around it, Alex.
So... Justin Bieber posted online in June of 2014.
By the way, you'd use the word too if Puffy did that to you.
True that.
Oh, it's switching really fast. Madonna referred to her son Rocco as a...
You can say it, Alex. This is an exclusive show.
I mean, I'm not gonna.
That's come okay. On.
On Instagram, she called her son the N-word. That's... Is he? I guess that's the question.
Is he the guy who banged my mom?
Is he?
Yeah.
The one who finally... Lampanelles?
Lampanelle called me a spick on Comedy Central.
Nice. Lampanelle called Lena Dunham my N-word.
She just said fat before that.
Didn't she kind of get like woke or offended about something?
Buddy, Lena Dunham, first of all, she is...
No, not Lena Dunham. Saying Lisa Lampanelli.
Oh, well, she became like a life coach who said now that insult comedy is bad. And then we watched that video of her going in the audience and screaming at everybody and unraveling.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what was in her fat, her brain, I guess, because it's fucking fricasseed. That was nuts. Like, this is my last time on stage, you motherfuckers.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, she called me a spick on Comedy Central Roast Battle, and they didn't believe
she was right.
Yeah, look, she did some things okay. She was right there for a few things. Who else?
They have Mel Gibson on this list.
Nice.
It's so funny because like Nate was sitting with Mel Gibson at was it the Super Bowl or something?
Was he?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how like the cycles work. Like, they just come back. He was like so openly against the Jews and abusive to his wife and said the N-word. And it's like, now he's just kind of mainstream again.
He's coming in town tonight.
Yeah. America's healing, Lewis.
Who, Nate's coming to town tonight?
Yeah.
Nice.
He liked it. He always says that. He goes, hey, I'm coming tonight. You're like, he's like, anything going on? You're like, yeah, but like,
get him on Story Wars. We could do a fourth I'm person.
Busy. He's not going to come to Story Wars.
Why wouldn't he? I'd bump Julian.
Yeah, Julian's going to know all the stories.
Yeah.
But you bump Julian for Nate.
Mm-hmm.
What an analogy. No, I don't know. It's like, I didn't realize it was so, like, I know the pendulum is like swinging back, whatever, but like,
it's swinging. The pendulum is spazzing out right now. It's a wild time.
It is.
It is. Look, I mean, I always did like, and part of the reason why I think, like, even when you're like, oh, do you regret like do it Nigger Dick part one and part two or whatever? It's like, well, no, of course not. Because look, the truth is we all, it's stupid. It's stupid to be like, there's a no-no word that you're not allowed to say. Like, I just find all that stupid. It's just almost like I felt more compelled to like break the rules when they were the rules actually being enforced. And I thought it was a stupid rule. Whereas then once they're like, all right, there's no more rule, you're like, oh, okay. Well, then I got nothing to prove.
Yeah, you're like, oh, yeah, I guess it's fine then. You're right. I still believe that. And then it's, yeah, like, then the problem is like, if that woke up a world of people, like you said, now just like unapologetically are being racist, you're like, well, that wasn't the goal either.
Well, the other thing is like, they act like they're like, oh, it's easy to be funny by being dirty and saying like dirty words. It's like, it's way easier to be funny being clean than using the N word in a joke. People get unfucking comfortable if you use the N word in a joke. You got to be really fucking good.
No, it's a good point. It's a good point.
If you had an N word joke in your, you didn't put it out as part of the special, it was a fucking brilliant joke. And that is way more fucking difficult to get a room of people to laugh at than fucking doing what Gaffigan does.
It was literally, I cut it out of the special just because I was putting it out on YouTube and I was just like, I know this is going to fuck
the whole thing. It's going to tank it. Yeah.
It's if I do this. So I cut it out, but it was the way it went. It was like the last tag on a joke. And just like to back up your point, I would do that maybe on 50% of the shows.
If it wasn't a hot crowd.
Like, these are my shows, my audience. I'm the headliner there. And if the crowd wasn't hot, you'd be like, eh, this is, but like, if the crowd was electric, you'd be like, okay, I'm going to go for, and like, no, it's a very interesting point because people do rely on this, like, just in general, like being dirty is easy. Like, oh, you're just getting a cheap laugh because you're going filthy. But in general, if you're going to have raunchy, like really kind of any type of offensive subject matter, then really it has to be that much funnier to win the room over on it.
I mean, listen, there's also gatherings of crowds that are there. Like, they're like, they think.
Sure. That's
not,
true.
If it's not edgy, it's like pussy comedy. So it's like, it goes both ways. But I mean, you are right. If you're just going into a general masses of like an 8 p.m. show in Anywhereville, America, getting them to laugh at like highly, like, you know, like walking the line material and stuff on good taste is definitely more difficult than going up there and being like, being married's nuts, huh? You know, the kids and the thing, you just want to drink a beer and watch some TV. Man, when I was young, I just thought it was all great. Didn't matter how corny or fucking hack you were. I was just like, bring it on.
I've been watching a lot of Louis C.K. with James lately.
Yeah.
He loves Louis.
Yeah,
yeah. Because Gaffigan was his favorite comic, and now he said to me last night, he was like, "You know what? I think Louis is my favorite comic."
Nice.
And we watched the one we watched Sincerely, which was his return special after it got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, James completely gets it.
he's like, I get it. He goes, someone calling you out for whacking off. Been there,
done that.
That's so funny. Oh, yeah, yeah. Should we wrap this bad boy up?
Sure.
Sure, buddy.
All right. Well, always fun hanging out with the boys.
Have a good Story Wars tonight, fellas.
Thank you. It is Story Wars night. We'll catch you guys next time on our live Legion of Skanks from the Stand.
So this next coming...
Oh, that's right. We're going to be playing...
The Skankfest one.
Yes, we're playing a skank.
Oh, we're off it's, this Monday?
We're off this Monday. It's the rap battle. It's the rap battle into the gun in the butt celebration. Nice. So it's a combination of two of the episodes.
Very, very fun. That's going to be very, very fun. But we'll be back for the Friday night hang next week, everybody. Until then, Corinne Fisher for mayor.
You've been listening to the Legion of Skanks podcast with Big J. Okerson.
Did you suck it? I think I would instinctually suck it.
Thick with three C's.
You must be fucking over, Lewis.
Lewis Gomez.
Lewis J. Gomez, you motherfucker.
Lewis J. Gomez.
If you're ever trying to watch a retard draw a swastika, it's hilarious.
I'm sort of known as a point guard of podcasting. Being a fat gay guy is so fucking awesome.
And comedian Dave Smith.
You fucking godless, soulless sodomites.
It's the fucking best joke I've ever heard in my life.
It was 8 inches.
The Legion of Skanks podcast.